Hey everybody, well, it turns out Nephilim monkeys are now a thing. We're gonna have to talk about that, why we would consider them possible Nephilim. That might be an appropriate word, maybe not. We're gonna talk about that and what we can do about it, how we're supposed to think about this, and also what the Book of Jubilees has to say about experiments that are going on today. All that and more on today's Peck Report. All right, everybody. Well, this is Peck Report. I am your host, Josh Peck. Glad to be talking with you again today. So, Chinese scientists have actually put human brain genes in monkeys, and they might actually be smarter. There have been recent tests to show that they actually do have increased capacity. It's like something out of Planet of the Apes. And a lot of this comes from more of an evolutionary standpoint, and I'm not gonna focus too much on evolution on this Peck Report, but I'll just say that many evolutionists in the scientific fields are also materialists, meaning to them, all human beings are a highly developed kind of bag of meat that evolved over a long period of time. And if that were true, then there really would be no ethical dilemma about manipulating these bags of meat, people and the lower forms of bags of meat, the animals, and seeing what we can play with and put together. But the way that we as Christians would think about it is, well, God ordained that everything reproduces after its own kind. He put boundaries in place between the species that weren't meant to be crossed. And the one time that we see that happen specifically in the book of Genesis, chapter 6, are when the fallen angels came down and mated with human women. So there was a boundary that was crossed there, which ended up in just tragedy, really. It ended up in destruction. The children, the offspring of this unholy union, were these Nephilim giants that roamed the earth, and God had to send a flood just to get rid of them all. The Book of Jubilees goes a little bit deeper into that, which we'll get to in a minute. But let's talk about what's actually going on in China right now. So we're going to mention evolution here and there, but just keep in mind that when we talk about evolution, in this Peck Report, this is from the standpoint of the scientists, not necessarily all Christians. Now, there are some Christians that do hold to evolution, and there are some who don't, and that would be a topic for another Peck Report. But let's just suffice it to say that when we talk about evolution, this is from a scientific, materialistic viewpoint. And if a person has this viewpoint, then ethical issues aren't going to ethical issues will seem arbitrary, because how could you have ethics if everything is ultimately meaningless? It's a nihilistic way of looking at the universe. So technologyreview.com recently put out an article about this new development. So it says that human intelligence is one of evolution's most consequential inventions. So they attribute this to evolution. It is a result of a sprint that started millions of years ago, leading to ever bigger brains and new abilities. Eventually, humans stood upright, took up the plow, and created civilization while our primate cousins stayed in the trees. So that sets the stage for what's coming next. That st sets the stage for how many of the scientists that are performing these experiments kind of look at the world. And again, when you have that perspective, then why not have something like directed evolution? Why not take control of evolution itself? We as human, mere human beings, why not take control of evolution and start getting into things like transhumanism and mixing animal and human genes together, and biohacking, and all sorts of other areas? Why not? Because, again, according to the materialistic evolutionary scientific mind, there would be no dilemma in doing that. It would only be a stage in our own evolution where we get to control these things. But as we know, this is not the first time that this kind of thing has happened. As we know, as Christians, as Bible-believing Christians, whether you believe in evolution or not, this is not the first time that this has happened. So it says now scientists in southern China report that they've tried to narrow the evolutionary gap, creating several transgenic macaw monkeys with extra copies of a human gene suspected of playing a role in shaping human intelligence. Bing Su, the geneticist at the Kunming Institute of Zoology, who led the effort, said, quote, "This was the first attempt to understand the evolution of human cognition using a transgenic monkey model," end quote. Now, according to their findings, these modified monkeys did better on a memory test involving colors and block pictures, and their brains also took longer to develop as those of human children do. There wasn't a difference in brain size. This also leads to the question of what if we as human beings continue in these experiments and these creatures, these half human, half monkey creatures, become self-aware? Would they then be under the umbrella of human rights? Probably not. So we would be performing these torturous tests on self-aware sentient beings. But then again, how would you ever really know that they're self-aware and that they're not just really good at acting like they are? You know, it's the whole Turing test of artificial intelligence. You know, if you can trick a human, then that's supposed to show some level of self-awareness or something like that. But at least show a high level of technological achievement. So there's always that question. You can't prove that something, that another entity is self-aware like you are. You can't prove that it's self-aware or that it's just not really good at looking like it's self-aware. You know, it's technically impossible to prove that. Now, theologically, we can prove that because, you know, the text of the Bible, we know we're all created in God's image. So we all as humans are sentient beings. And there's a lot that goes in with that too, but just on a purely, on from their viewpoint, from the viewpoint of the materialistic, scientist, there is no way to prove that. So no harm, no foul. Now, the experiments described on March 27th in the Beijing Journal, National Science Review, and first reported by Chinese media remain far from pinpointing the secrets of the human mind or leading to an uprising of brainy primates. You know, so, of course, there's going to be this callback to Planet of the Apes. They're going to make jokes about it. And then any of us who try to take this seriously and say, well, there might be some truth there, then we're going to look like crazy lunatics because, well, you just watch the movies too much. You know, that's what they'll say. It goes on to say, instead, several Western scientists, including one who collaborated on the effort, called the experiments reckless and said they questioned the ethics of genetically modifying primates, an area where China has seized a technological edge. James Sikella has said, who's a geneticist who carries out comparative studies among primates at the University of Colorado, he says, quote, "The use of transgenic monkeys to study human genes linked to brain evolution is a very risky road to take. It is a classic slippery slope issue, and one that we can expect to recur at this type of research is pursued," end quote. So he's concerned that the experiment shows disregard for the animals and will soon lead to more extreme modifications. And of course, it does show a lot of disregard to the animal. You're transforming them into something that they weren't meant to be. Of course, it's against the animal's will because it doesn't have a will. It can't give consent in these types of things. It's completely immoral. Now, research using primates is increasingly difficult in Europe and the U.S., but China has rushed to apply the latest high-tech DNA tools to the animals. The country was first to create monkeys altered with gene editing tool CRISPR, and this January, a Chinese institute announced it had produced a half dozen clones of a monkey with a severe mental disturbance. So Sikella says, quote, "It is troubling that the field is steamrolling along in this manner," end quote. So what does this have to do with the Nephilim, with the Book of Jubilees, all that stuff? Let's get to that. First, I have to tell you about CBD Pure and CBD Pets. Now, for those of you who suffer from chronic pain or anxiety or a host of other physical and mental issues, emotional issues, I've heard a lot of anecdotal evidence from people saying that CBD oil has been greatly beneficial. And excuse me. And if you purchase CBD oil, then you probably have been there, where you try to You try to get something. It's hard to vet a vendor today. You know, it's very difficult to do that. So you hear from a friend, "Oh, you got to try my guy out. You know, go ahead buy some from him." And then you get the stuff, and it doesn't do anything. It's garbage, and you can't get your money back because most vendors don't have a money back guarantee. Well, the guesswork is taken out of it for you. So CBD Pure and CBD Pets, not only do they offer a money back guarantee, but they also scientifically test independently, third party, test every batch that they create to make sure that it's non-GMO, it's pesticide free, it's totally pure, natural, organic CBD oil. I actually have mine right here. It's a great product. I highly suggest you check it out, and they make it for your pets as well. So if your pets are suffering from anxiety issues or something, this could greatly help. So click on the links in the description below, or just go to joshpeckdisclosure.com. While you're there, check out my friends at Coastline Kratom, another really great company. If you're a chronic pain sufferer like me, then you probably have some familiarity with what it's like to be hooked on narcotics. It's terrible. You know, it's awful. So Kratom can help with this. This is my story. I don't suggest that people just go throw away their pain pills and start taking this. I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to do that. But my story on this is I was hopelessly addicted to narcotics, and they weren't really working anyway. They were just getting me so high that I would kind of not think about the pain for a while. Well, Kratom gave me my life back. Through Kratom, I was able to get off of, well, actually, I did it the hard way. I just quit cold turkey. I quit narcotics cold turkey because I didn't know about Kratom yet, and it was horrible. It was 2 weeks of hell, and then another month of relatively a little bit less hell, but it was still pretty bad. But after that, I discovered Kratom, so I didn't have to deal with all the chronic pain that came back. So Coastline Kratom is great. It can greatly help in this. This is the highest quality Kratom that they have. They also have a money back guarantee, and they have a wide variety of strains that you can try, so you can figure out your own tolerance, which strains work better for you. Personally, I like white and green strains. If I need a little bit more energy, I'll go for a white one. If I just mainly need pain relief, then I'll go for a green one, usually Green Meng Da or something like that. But they also offer a wide variety. I suggest getting the beginner's ultra enhanced pack, so that way you can start off real small. It's ultra enhanced, so it's strong, but you can start off small and see what works best for you. That's what I would suggest. But you can go and check out everything they have. You do have to set up a Zelle Pay account through their website because many credit card companies don't want to deal with the purchase of Kratom because of the political climate around it. But that's okay. You can do it right on their website. It is super easy. It only takes a minute, and then you can have access to all the Kratom that you want. So go in the links in the description below to check that out, or just go to joshpeckdisclosure.com and find the banner in the right-hand sidebar near the top. All right, so you know this article does continue to talk about this evolution story. So it says Sue, a researcher at the Kunming Institute of Zoology, specializes in searching for signs of Darwinian selection, that is, genes that have been spreading because they're successful. His quest has spanned such topics as Himalayan yaks adaptation to high altitude and the evolution of human skin color in response to cold winters. The biggest riddle of all, though, is intelligence. What we know is that our human-like ancestors' brains rapidly grew in size and power. To find the genes that caused the change, scientists have sought out differences between humans and chimpanzees, whose genes are about 98% similar to ours. The objective, says Sekela, was to locate the jewels of our genome, that is, the DNA that makes us uniquely human. For instance, one popular candidate called Gene FoxP2, the language gene in press reports, became famous for its potential link to human speech. A British family whose members inherited an abnormal version had trouble speaking. Scientists from Tokyo to Berlin were soon mutating the gene in mice and listening with ultrasonic microphones to see if their squeaks changed. Sue was fascinated by a different gene, MCPH1 or microcephalin. Not only did the gene sequence differ between humans and apes, but babies with damage to microcephalon are born with tiny heads, providing a link to brain size. With his students, Sue once used calipers and head spanners to the measure of the heads of 867 Chinese men and women to see if results could be explained by differences in the gene. By 2010, though, Sue saw a chance to carry out a potentially more definitive experiment, adding the human microcephalon gene to a monkey. See, this is where it gets apocalyptic. China by then had begun pairing its sizable breeding facilities for monkeys. The country exports more than 30,000 a year, with the newest genetic tools, an effort that has turned into a mecca for foreign scientists who need monkeys to experiment on. Need, not want, apparently. They need them. To create the animals, Sue and collaborators at the Yunnan Ki Laboratory of Primate Biomedical Research exposed monkey embryos to a virus carrying the human version of microcephalon. They generated 11 monkeys, five of which survived to take part in a battery of brain measurements. Those monkeys each have been 2 and 9 copies of human gene in their bodies. Sue's monkeys raise some unusual questions about animal rights. In 2010, Sekela and 3 colleagues wrote a paper called The Ethics of Using Transgenic Non-Human Primates to Study What Makes Us Human, in which they concluded that human brain genes should never be added to apes, such as chimpanzees, because they are too similar to us. So Jacqueline Glover, a University of Colorado bioethicist who was one of the authors, says, quote, "You just go to the Planet of the Apes immediately in the popular imagination. To humanize them is to cause harm. Where would they live and what would they do? Do not create a being that can't have a meaningful life in any context," end quote. The authors concluded, however, that it might be acceptable to make such changes to monkeys. You know, speaking of the movie Planet of the Apes, you know, monkeys are kind of, they're really vicious creatures. Like chimpanzees, you know, a lot of times when you see them in movies and stuff, they look like these cute, harmless, you know, things, but they are actually really vicious in nature. Like, you would not want one as a pet. Monkeys just in general are pretty vicious creatures. But imagine a vicious creature like that, that had all the animalistic motivations of say, a chimpanzee, of just a vicious, or an orangutan, or you know, anything like that. But it also had some level of human intelligence. So not only is it completely violent, but now it can think like a human. Even to a limited capacity, it can figure things out. It can learn to be more vicious and play more into its animal nature. And and some might say, well, there's no evidence that that would happen. Well, look at what humanity is doing. Look at human beings ourselves. We're not even animals. You know, we're human beings, but still, we talked about this yesterday on Peck Report. We have this animalistic nature, and time again, we humans, we bow to that very easily. But our animal nature is nowhere compared to something like a chimpanzee or some other monkey out in the wild. Imagine the plague that could bring upon the world. So it goes on. In an email, Sue says he agrees that apes are so close to humans that their brains should not be changed, but monkeys and humans last shared an ancestor 25 million years ago. To Sue, that alleviates the ethical concerns. See how he gets around it. Well, you know, we at one point had an ancestor 25 million years ago, so we're just bringing it back to the way it was. You know, we're restoring something now. See, that's where making that assumption. For one thing, we don't know that that's true. We don't know that monkeys and humans ever had an ancestor. There's arguments on both sides of that issue, but the fact is, none of us were there to see it. We can't replicate that in a lab. So we don't really know, but that's the problem of making assumptions like that. It can lead you to these ridiculous conclusions that well, we're just restoring things, we're just putting it back together. That's all. We're doing something that nature had lost. That's kind of how they're looking at it. So to them, as I said in the beginning of this video, there is no ethical dilemma. That's the problem. So to Sue, this alleviates the ethical concerns. He says, quote, "Although their genome is close to ours, there are also tens of millions of differences. Impossible by introducing only a few human genes," end quote. So that's the context of that, is he doesn't think monkeys will become anything more than monkeys. But again, he doesn't know that. And because they don't know and they have this curiosity, they're going to do these experiments and find out, to the detriment of the rest of us, possibly. Now, judging by their experiments, the Chinese team did expect that their transgenic monkeys could end up with an increased intelligence and brain size. That is why they put the creatures inside MRI machines to measure their white matter and gave them a computerized memory test. Now, according to their report, the transgenic monkeys did not have larger brains, but they did better on a short-term memory quiz, a finding that the team considers remarkable. So think about that. They actually improved this monkey because obviously a human being is at a higher level than a monkey. So they were actually to successfully take something from the human, put it into the monkey, and then elevate the monkey higher than what the monkey already was. This is obviously a slippery slope. Where is this going to lead? It goes on to say several scientists think the Chinese experiment didn't yield much new information. One of them is Martin Steiner, a University of North Carolina computer scientist and specialist in MRI, who is listed among the co-authors of the Chinese report. Steiner says his role was limited to training Chinese students to extract brain volume data from MRI images, and that he considered removing his name from the paper, which he says was not able to find a publisher in the West. Steiner says, quote, "There are a bunch of aspects of the study that you could not do in the U.S. It raised issues about the type of research and whether the animals were properly cared for," end quote. After what he's seen, Steiner says he's not looking forward to more evolution research on transgenic monkeys. He says, quote, "I don't think that is a good direction. Now we have created this animal, which is different than it's supposed to be. When we do experiments, we have to have a good understanding of what we are trying to learn to help society, and that is not the case here," end quote. One issue is that genetically modified monkeys are expensive to create and care for. With just 5 modified monkeys, it's hard to reach firm conclusions about whether they really differ from normal monkeys in terms of brain size or memory skills. Steiner says, quote, "They are trying to understand brain development, and I don't think they are getting there," end quote. In an email, Sue agreed that the small number of animals was a limitation. He says that he has a solution, though. He's making more of the monkeys and is also testing new brain evolution genes. One that he has his eye on is SRGAP2C, a DNA variant that arose about 2 million years ago, just when Australopithecus was seeding the African savanna to early humans. That gene has been dubbed the humanity switch and the missing genetic link for its likely role in the emergence of human intelligence. Sue says he's been adding it to monkeys, but that it's way too soon to say what the results are. Okay, so that's the end of the article, but imagine where this is going to lead, and imagine if he's going to get, you know, the more monkeys you experiment on, the greater chances that something could go wrong. What if one gets smuggled out? You know, what if one escapes? I know they keep these facilities pretty tight, but still, what if one gets smuggled out or something like that and is let loose into the wild? You know, you hear stories about that. Animal rights activists will break into labs and release the animals and stuff like that. I don't know how often that really happens, but it has happened before. One of these gets out in the wild and it's done. That's it. That's it for monkeys. That's it for that species of monkey. Because if it starts reproducing, you know, it's genetically modified. It reproduces with a natural monkey. Well, then what's the offspring is still going to have some of the genes of the genetically modified original edited monkey in it. And that's impossible. That's a wildfire you can't contain. And, you know, at that point, you cannot put the genie back in the bottle. Now, that is exactly what happened in Genesis 6, and it's talked about in Jubilees. That's exactly what happened. You know, when the Watchers descended onto Mount Hermon, there wasn't a lot of them to begin with. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of them to begin with. It wasn't millions upon millions upon millions. It was a relatively small group. Yet they with humankind, they mated with humankind, they bore the Nephilim, and then that just kept on going and kept on going until the plague of the Nephilim engulfed the entire earth, and all that was left was Noah and his wife and his sons. Noah and his son. But it got so bad that God had to send the flood to just wipe it all out and start fresh. The book of Jubilees gets more into that, but you know what? Hate to do it, but it is that time. We're gonna have to say goodbye to YouTube. Now, listen, if you wanna know more about what we're gonna get into in the Book of Jubilees, we're gonna read some passages here from the Book of Jubilees and really get into what happened back then and how this is being repeated today. Now, you know, unfortunately, just the way YouTube is with its censorship, we can't trust YouTube to just let anything go, you know? So what we've been doing is we have a membership program now on joshpeckdisclosure.com. You go there, you become a member for just a lousy $10 a day or $100 a year, which that one is the better deal because then you get 2 months for free. Plus, you pay it once, you don't have to think about it for a whole year. That's a pretty good deal. But there you can get the full video episodes of Peck Reports, full Peck Underground Churches that you can't find online. A quick story about that. Just recently, I interviewed Derek Gilbert about his new book, Bad Moon Rising, which I can't even mention the subject matter of the book because if I do, the YouTube algorithm will hear it and will delete this video, even this free video that I'm putting out for you guys, not even the exclusive part that's on the member section. And before right when we got done with the interview, we ended the interview. I closed out of it, and it was already demonetized before the video was even done processing. Now, I highly doubt that that some official at YouTube was watching the video live and monitoring it that closely. It's because there was a certain word that we had to talk about a lot because it's a subject matter of his book. It's a different religion than Christianity, let's say that. And we had to talk about it a lot because that's what his book is all about. And YouTube just immediately assumed that we were being bigoted and hateful, and they demonetized it before the video was even done processing. They didn't even have a chance to watch it. Now I've had videos deleted, just completely deleted before. So what we do now is right when a video goes up, I immediately put it on private. I download it as fast as I can, and then I delete it off of YouTube myself. And then I take the file and I put it on the membership page for joshpeckdisclosure.com. So that is for you. That way you can still have access to these amazing insights from these wonderful speakers and authors and everything. You can still have access to that. Not only that, but you also get access to the free message board. If you're a member, you get to take part in the message board, which is great because it's a lot of fellowship. You can get a hold of me directly through that. You can ask me questions. I'm frequently on the message board, answering people's questions, and we have some really good conversations there. So you want to take part in that. Again, you can click on the links in the description below for the rest of this video to see how all of this ties into the Book of Jubilees and the Nephilim from the Book of Jubilees, and you get access to a lot more. There are full Peck reports that have never been aired anywhere on YouTube or anything because it's too controversial. You know, YouTube would just delete it. But you can find it in the members area. Through my website, I'm able to control my own content, which is costly, but it's worth it if it means that we actually get to have these insights and fellowship together. That's what it's all about. We're also going to be rolling out a lot of new programs on this channel. Also, the website is going to be changing from Josh Peck Disclosure to Daily Renegade. Actually, if you go to Daily Renegade right now, it'll bring you right to Josh Peck Disclosure. So we're getting all this worked out, new graphics, we're building a new site, we're going to have an app, in the future you're going to be able to watch it on your TV, we're going to do online conferences, we have a lot of awesome stuff planned. So now is the time to become a member. Now is the time for you to be a part of this as well, for you to get in on the ground floor and be a part of what we're building here, because I can't build it myself, but as a community, as a fellowship, as brethren, we can really make something amazing out of this. And I do believe this is going to have to be the future of Christian ministry in general and just how we fellowship with one another across vast distances. You know, we're all over the country. Really, we're all over the world. And the only way we can truly fellowship with one another is, either we fly to like a conference or something and we can meet in person there, or we do it online. Well, we can't really do that if YouTube is censoring everything we say. You know, every Christian thought that we have is being censored on Google and Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, all these platforms. So that diminishes greatly our fellowship. But through my own website, through and it's gonna that is the future of Christian ministry and fellowship. Through my website, other people will probably be building websites too. But as far as I know, what we're building right now, this has never been done before for the fringe Christian crowd, for us. and I want to do it for you guys, but I can't do it alone. So I'm asking, will you come on board and be a part of this? Sign up for a membership, and that will help greatly. If you can't afford a membership, that is okay. We've actually set something up where you can, if you contribute your work to the ministry, then in return we'll give you a free membership. So how do you do that? Right now we need articles. We need articles. So here's how to do it. Email me at joshpeckdisclosure@gmail.com. Email me there. Write me a 2,000 word or more article, topic of your choice, but something that you believe will resonate well with the Josh Peck Disclosure, soon to be Daily Renegade audience. Write me that and send it to me in, say, like a Word document or something. And if you're selected, if it's good, if it's good writing, then I'll send it to my editor and we'll get it up on the website and you'll get a free membership. So that way, and you know, to keep up the free membership, you know, I don't want you to just send me one article and then you get a free year. I would like you to keep contributing as often as you can. If you can do it once a week, great. You know, that would be really great. Even better if you can do it every day. If you can only do it once a month or something, then that's okay too. But you know, let me know how often you would be able to contribute. But that's a way. If you can't afford the membership, and I totally get it, I've been there myself. If you can't afford the membership, you can work it off through writing articles, and then you get exposure. Your name's still on the article. You can promote your own website if you like through this. You can promote anything you want, really. You're free to do that. So yeah, that is how you can do it. Okay, so for members only, we're going to talk about Jubilees and the sins of the Nephilim. So stay tuned for that. For everybody else, thank you so much for watching, and don't forget to subscribe and click on the bell for notifications. This YouTube channel is still very important, so don't let that go by the wayside. So make sure you subscribe and click the bell. All right, so for everybody on YouTube, love you all. Take care and God bless.